The Gospel of John is really such a beautiful picture of the heart of God displayed in the person of Jesus. It's very unlike the other three Gospels. It was written later than the others, and in John's telling, we see the influence of God's Spirit, who has illuminated John's understanding as he carefully constructs a message of life and light to encourage those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. In John's gospel, Jesus' ministry begins with this plain water becoming fine wine, and then we meet Nicodemus, one of the authorities who believed in him but was afraid to speak up, and we hear of the need for new birth by the Spirit. Here is where Jesus declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but to save the world through him." In John 4, we see this woman who's been shunned by her community become an evangelist. We see Jesus heal the son of a nobleman with a simple declaration, "Your son lives." In John 5, we see Jesus among the sick and the dying, and he encounters this man who's been lying helpless on a mat for 38 years, and Jesus asks him that profound question, "Do you want to get well?" And then the man finds the strength in the word of Jesus to get up, as Jesus said, pick up his mat and walk. And then in the multitudes, in the wilderness, Jesus feeds them with just a few loaves of bread before he returns to Jerusalem, where he restores sight to a man born blind, and he accuses the Pharisees, who claim to be able to see all truth, of being blind themselves, which gets them riled up, gets him nearly stoned to death, and brings us to where we were last week with the raising of Lazarus, this stunning display of God's power and God's love through Jesus as he raises Lazarus and restores him to life. And all of these things, John tells us, are just the tip of the iceberg. So many more miracles were done, so many signs and wonders performed through Jesus that we can't even imagine. But he wants us to see that Jesus demonstrates a new dimension to the work of God. The light has come into the world. The darkness must retreat. There's a new kind of an exodus from slavery. There's a new kind of life. There's a new kind of light. John tells us Jesus performed all these miracles in plain sight. He didn't try to hide them from anybody. He got a lot of attention. And still, John says, people did not believe. The scripture this morning gives reference to Isaiah, a prophet who stood amidst God's people at the time of the exile, people who were in outright rebellion against God, who stood against God, living flagrantly immoral lives. God called Isaiah to speak the truth to them. He said, "Speak it, call it, tell them, but they're not going to listen." God said, "Because their hearts are hard and their ears are stopped up." They were so sunk in sin that the slop of it had clogged up their ears. They could no longer recognize the voice of truth. They were so set in their ways. And so the only way out was judgment. And even so, Isaiah knew that judgment was going to come in a way that was the most unbelievable, extraordinary work of unexpected grace and salvation. And on this side of the cross, we know what that salvation looked like. Jesus Christ giving himself for us. John looks at the Judeans of Jesus' day who witnessed the work of God through the signs and wonders Jesus performed right under their noses. And the only explanation he can come up with is the same one God gave Isaiah. Hard hearts. Some did believe. Scripture tells us some authorities did believe, but they were so stuck in people-pleasing mode that they couldn't publicly declare that they were putting their faith in Jesus Christ. because they were more afraid of offending people than they were of giving glory to God. John makes it clear that with or without the affirmation of the people, the work of God is going forward. Whether they want to put their faith in Jesus or not, God will not be stopped. Salvation has come. It's a current of light and life. It continues even today. The light has come into the world, Scripture says, shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of the world was with them, shining all around them, and they must choose for themselves whether to walk in the light or stumble around in the darkness. And likewise, friends, for us today, the light is in the world, shining all around us, and we must choose for ourselves to walk in the light or stumble around in the darkness. Living here in Michigan, it's easy for me to use this analogy of wintertime in Michigan. When almost every day is gray. It's so good this year to have had so many days of sunshine, isn't it? When it's gray, there isn't much distinction between earth and sky or anything else. They just seem to all blend into this cloud of gray. But when the sun shines, you can see color, you can see shadows, distinctions are clear. In the same way, now that the light is in the world, shining brightly among us, we can no longer claim we don't see any difference. We can't say we don't know, everything just looks gray to us. We can see light places. We can see shadows. We are able to determine what is right and what is wrong. And we who belong to the fold of Jesus Christ have no excuse because Jesus has said, "My sheep know my voice." There is light enough for all who choose to come into the light. But for those who choose to remain in darkness, Jesus, who has been given authority to judge, has said, "I'm not going to judge, because my word, the word God has spoken, is enough." God loves the world with more intensity than a laser light that can cut through thick metal and separates bone from marrow. God loves the world with an intensity that removes our excuses, that takes off our blinders. We can no longer say, "I didn't know. I can't see the difference. I don't know where the sky ends and the snow begins. It was all so gray. I didn't think it mattered." It does matter. And there's light for those who choose to walk in the light. The light has come intent on rescuing and healing and loving people back into life. When they choose darkness over light, the result is sadly clear. Jesus doesn't need to pronounce judgment. For those who choose darkness will have no excuse to offer. The light shines in the darkness. We can't pretend we don't see. Jesus says, "If you believe in me, walk in my light." If you don't believe in me, you are choosing the darkness. Jesus knew that what he was doing when he raised Lazarus was going to rile up the authorities, amp up the opposition. The darkness loomed large over the light of the world. The ultimate battle, Jesus knew, was drawing very near. And the words Vicki read for us this morning actually were Jesus' final public declaration in John's gospel. After this time, he's speaking to his disciples and his followers. But the last words he spoke publicly in John's gospel say, "The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my teachings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will be the judge on the last day, for I've not spoken on my own. But the Father himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his command is eternal life." You see, God commands eternal life for all of us. "I know," Jesus said, "his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me." As we move through Lent, We're talking about the real love God offers. And I'm reminding you of the ways that relationship matters. You must choose God for yourself. Light or darkness, life or death, God or self. The choice is yours, and you must make it. Will you be a child of God in the light of his love? Or will you be a child of the darkness who loves the ways of the world? These are choices we make every day over the course of our life journey. And let's be real, some days are better than others. Some days I choose light. Some days I stumble around in the darkness. Is anybody with me in that? And if we're honest, when we see those horrible things that happen in the world, we realize and we recognize that these horrible things that happen in the world, most of the time, it's not because of some outrageously, totally, completely evil person. It's about people just like you and me who sometimes stumble around in the darkness. We do things that impact the people around us. There are times when we lie to protect our reputation. We indulge in destructive behaviors. We allow our emotions to drive our actions. We're all prone to bad behavior. We all possess destructive potential. When we get a hold of that truth and own it and believe it and recognize it, that ought to send us running from the darkness, running to the light of the Lord. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. We have to do that daily. Jesus said, daily take up your cross and follow me. Daily we have to choose to walk in the light, to do our best, to pursue holiness, to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. And Scripture encourages us in this. We can't do this through our own effort. But the Spirit of God works in us to make us able to make it so. Our part is to go with the flow. Not go with the flow of the world, but go with the flow of the Word and the Spirit of God. Our part is to make the choice to keep ourselves in the flow of the light. You may or may not know this, but Pat and I enjoy canoeing. I'm good with it, springtime through fall. But for Pat, it is a year-long passion. He's made it a practice to canoe the Flint River on New Year's Day each year. And then we park the canoes until sometime in March. Last year, maybe 2 years ago, I'm not sure now. We headed out very early in the spring, probably March, for a run from downtown Flushing to Barber Park up here in Montrose on the Flint River. Our son dropped us off in Flushing, and he was going to drive our car up here to Barber Park and his wife meet him there and leave our vehicle there. So when we got to the end, we'd have our car there. We could just get out and drive home. That was a good plan. The river was full, the water was swift, and after just a minute or two, we'd been launched and we're making good progress down the river, and Pat's phone started to ring. And he pulled his phone out and he said, it's Jay, our son. So he answered it and we had the car keys. So what do you suppose we did? Foolish humans that we are. We decided we could turn around and paddle back upstream. We tried for, I don't know, a minute or two. Till we realized, I think we're farther down than when we started. So we pulled over to the shore, and Pat climbed up, and I stayed with the canoe, and he started walking back toward the launch point. A good Samaritan picked him up and drove him, and we connected with our son, and long story short, Jay got the keys, Pat got back to the boat, and we were on our way once again. The point of the story is this: it's not so much about God blessing good behavior and God punishing bad behavior. We have to get that out of our head. You see, there's this flow of the current of God's light and word and truth and the guidance of the Spirit that goes, that when we go with that flow, there's blessing. Blessing comes to us. When we work with God, when we stay in the light, when we listen to His word, when we let the Spirit guide us, there's blessing. And when we go against those things, it's like trying to paddle upstream. Life gets hard. There's this faithfulness that we choose to walk in every day, and it places us in that current of grace, and we feel the blessing of God. But when we try to go against it, we experience resistance, and that's when we think, well, God's mad at me or God's punishing me. No. We choose to stay in the flow, to go with God, to listen to the Spirit. We choose to identify with Jesus. When we're faithful to Jesus, it's because we've had our ears open and our eyes opened. We can't do this ourselves. The Spirit has to do that for us. Our hearts are soft, and we're done trying to live life on our own terms. We're done trying to determine that, yes, I can paddle back upstream. And we recognize that God wants our good. We choose to go with the flow of His truth and His love and His purpose and His plan, and He carries us by grace through this world and into the next, and we trust. Every day we trust Christ is enough. We see the glory of the cross on which Jesus accomplished what I can never do on my own. I'm done pretending. I no longer try to hide my testimony. There's a word which God has spoken that's better than any word I could ever say. Paul knew that. He declared, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Friends, we've lived in the darkness for way too long. It's time to come out and walk in the light. It's time to declare, I've had enough paddling upstream, seeking my own way and my own gain, my own glory. It's time to release all that nonsense. Hold on to one another and go with the light and the truth and the love. And at the end of the day, to exclaim, what a ride. You know, Pat and I never made it to Barber Park that day in the canoe. We never did. The river was full and swift, as I said. And we got close to the Mount Morris Bridge, and we saw that almost every way under the bridge was clogged with debris. Well, we found one spot we thought we could get through, so we headed for it. And just under the water, there was a log submerged just enough under the surface. And in an instant, we were tipped and swimming. In an instant! See, sometimes even when we walk in the light, even when we're carried by God's love and grace, even when we're listening for the word, even when we're trusting in the Lord, stuff happens. Remember, horrible things happen in life, not because the world is full of evil, obviously horrible people. Stuff happens because of folks just like you and me, people who walk with us in the light. Good Christians get flipped and tipped by things that lurk under the surface, just waiting to sink us and see if we can swim. The key is knowing ahead of time that Jesus never promised that the journey would be without occasional upset. John 1:1, the 5th through the 8th verse. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all that sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, it's a daily journey. When we claim faith in Jesus Christ, when we choose to walk in the light, Scripture says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, you'll occasionally get your canoe tipped over. But you have fellowship with others who are with you on the journey, who will hold on to you and lift you up and come and pick you up when you call them again and say, Jay, bring your car and some towels because we're wet and cold. They dry us off, take us home, and don't laugh too hard at your foolish parents. We all get flipped now and then. We all get flipped. That's why our choice to walk with Jesus has to happen every day. And we know that when we get flipped, we cry out to Jesus. And trust me, I did. And he lifts us out of the water and sets our feet back on solid ground. That's our God. That's our God. We're going to sing our closing song together, He Touched Me. And as we sing, I want to invite you to remember that this is the opportunity for you to declare in truth what you know about God and about your walk with Jesus. Because sometimes the world looks at Christians and says, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They pretend to have it all together and think they're all righteous, and then I see what they do all week long. But this is where you get to declare to them, oh, no. I'm doing the best I can to stay in the flow, to listen to the word, to be guided by God's Spirit. But sometimes I get flipped. Still, I'm shackled by a heavy burden. I carry a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touches me, and I'm no longer the same. That's the declaration. That's the witness. For the world to see. We're struggling just like everybody else. But we have this voice that guides us, this spirit that leads us, this truth that we live by, this word that we affirm and proclaim, this Jesus who has saved us and loves us. And we're faithful to him. That relationship we choose with Jesus keeps us walking in the light as best we can. So friends, stand together and sing this song is your witness today. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.